Notice I said Jeff and not baby. All right. I tried to work and get the heat right, but it didn't want to cooperate, so I hope y'all ain't too cold. Or too hot. All right. Back over in Revelation. This is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, part 94. And I want to read chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Remember, last week, when we were talking about in chapter 8, beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. That angel wasn't really an angel, it was an eagle flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels yet to sound." And we talked about this being Christ. And here again, this star that fell, it's not falling like you tripped and fell, but it's on a planned trajectory, I guess. And that star that emptied himself and humbled himself is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him is given the key of the bottomless pit. And, you know, I've got some notes tonight, but this bottomless pit here, and I know we could go through a whole lot, but, you know, it's this word abyss. It just represents a lie or the lie. That's what it is. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said, he told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He is a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And let me say this, and then maybe we can just talk a little. You know, what is a lie? I think we all know what a lie is, but one thing, a lie is an error, an untruth, an unreality. I want you to think about that, an unreality. Something that appears to have substance, but in fact it's an illusion or an imagination. I hate to even use the word I in this, but I saw, or the Lord revealed, ever how you want to call it, something so life-changing to me Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, today, that I've just been praying so much because how in the world can you teach this? You know what I mean? Or talk about it. It's so, I don't have a word for it. And as I was getting ready for this study on the Revelation, I thought, how in the world am I going to go back to the book of Revelation? Because now everything's changed. You know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. And there it is. And it's right in the face of this very lie that has governed everything. Oh, and when I say everything, I mean everything. So this, and he's given the key to the bottomless, given the key of the bottomless pit. And I don't even know really how to go about, but I thought it, you know, when I started reading this here in chapter 9, I said, my goodness, this goes right along, and it just opens up another level. You know how when you come into a place and you don't really know how big it is, but when you get inside, you look around at the vastness of it and the beauty of it, and you're just overwhelmed. I mean, how can you go and now describe these things? But you can't go back. It doesn't really matter where we go from here, as I know you can't go back. And I know for some it's probably going to be very, very challenging, and I understand that. But, man, when we see this, goodness gracious, it changes everything. Now, let me get back on track. Maybe we can talk about this some more. But in the study of the Scriptures, where this bottomless pit, this abyss is mentioned, it's always associated with the waters of the earth. You know, this book of Revelation, a book of symbols, you know, right in Genesis, I'll go back over there if I can find Genesis in this book. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that word deep, the abyss, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, the deep was broken up for the waters to come forth in the flood. Isaiah 51:10, the waters of the great deep. So when this term is used, the abyss, it has to do with the waters. Again, remember, this is a spiritual book, and everything here is symbols that stand for spiritual realities, both positive and negative. And as we progress from trumpet to trumpet, there's an ascending scale of the depth of the Father dealing in our lives. You go back to the other trumpets and look, and there was lights going out, sun and moon darkened, mountains being cast down, the waters and the streams being turned to wormwood. And now here in the fifth trumpet, we face an abyss, something that's more deep. More hidden, more profound than any of the other four realms that preceded it. And I think it's right on the money. And Andrew agrees. He's trying to figure out how to get that hat on his head. Now, this abyss and these waters, of course, it's the lowest realm. It's locked up, it's unseen, it's unknown, and only a mighty angel or messenger with the key is able to open it. Now, this Holy Spirit is seeking to reveal to us who can receive and understand it, that there's a dimension of man's being which is not a result or a manifestation of anything else, but lies so deep within us that it's been secret or hidden. And when I say that, it's, man, I wish, you know, like I said, I've been praying since Saturday for the Lord to give me words of even how to understand it. But I can tell you, the only way that it is revealed, of course the Father has to reveal it, but he did reveal it, but it's in this great wisdom of the cross. If you can see the wisdom of the cross, and I'm telling you, if we can see the wisdom of the cross in the right light, the light which it is, this great wisdom that Paul talked about, that just brought to naught all the other wisdom of men, brought to naught everything else. He's having a time. And right here we see this fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key, this bottomless pit. And you know, this is what John is talking about, John the Baptist, when he spoke, when he was preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. If we could understand this, my goodness. You know, it's like, again, like you're in a giant room and you see this truth everywhere and you wonder where even to begin. Because it just crumbles. It just dashes to pieces all this other stuff. But it's within this abyss that Satan finds his abode in mankind, and he can remain hidden in the darkness of the lie. Do you know that Satan wants to remain hidden? Why would you say he wants to remain hidden? I know in kind of mythology and these others, everybody's got him as a little red man on a can of tuna and all this stuff, but why would he want to remain hidden? Because he's a lie. I mean, if we can get a hold of that, his very premise is a lie, an illusion that is so hidden that we think it's reality. And nothing can bring this thing to light and destroy it other than this star that fell from heaven, this star that emptied himself and humbled himself and became a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the only thing that can expose the lie. And it's within that abyss that Satan finds his abode in mankind. Now, what I'm talking about here is none other than the heart of man, the heart. You know, Ezekiel 16 tells us that he would sprinkle clean water on us and give us a new heart. Now, the old heart, it's the deepest part of being in the life of old Adam. The new heart is the deepest part of being of Christ in our spirit. Now, what is the heart? It's the sense of being. It's the root of all human expression and identity, the heart. I'm going to read you something out of Mark here, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Verse 18. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out with a draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within. Now listen to where they come from. Where do they come from? All these things come from within and defile a man. Boy, wouldn't... All these things come from within. I thought they come from the devil. Well, Jesus just said all these things come from within, right out of the heart. Let me give you some other verses here. Psalm 64, verse 2 through 6. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Man, what a picture of the cross and what a picture of what happened to Jesus. And everyone that came at him came where? Right out of their heart. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 12, verse 22. Verse 22. He discovereth deep things out of the darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death, that darkness, the abyss. He discovereth deep things out of the darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death, the shadow of death. And Ecclesiastes 7:24. That which is afar off and exceeding deep, there's that word again, abyss, bottomless pit. Who can find it? But here in the book of Revelation, Jesus holds the key. He's given the key. I'll say this, he is the key. The key to what? Unlock the lie. My goodness. It's he who opens the abyss and brings forth the revelation of all that's lurking there. The heart. That's the very seat of where the lie is. Now, I want to go read you another verse here out of Hosea. Let me find Hosea. Chapter 7, verse 6. Look what it says. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. So he says they've made their heart ready like an oven. That word oven there is the word furnace. It's the same word, furnace. Now it says right here in Revelation 9 and 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Can you see this bottomless pit here that I'm talking about is not something out in the ground somewhere? It's the depths of the heart that we're talking about. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The heart, that's the place of the deceitfulness brought on by the lie of Satan. And as we go in on our Sundays, we're going to be talking about this a lot. But here's a question. Maybe a couple of questions. Where is Satan? I know everybody's, well, you know, going to a devil's hell, I guess. And they'll say, well, Satan is in hell, I guess. Who is Satan? And I would ask this, if Satan is in hell, but yet he is affecting people here in Tazewell County, he's affecting people in New York, and he's affecting people in Japan. You see what I mean? It just doesn't. So are we going to have to say here is hell and New York is hell and Japan is hell? Or how can he be here plus in China and plus in all at the same time? Just some questions. I mean, who is he? Maybe his whole being is based on a lie. See, we can't fathom that, though, can we? We can't fathom that maybe his whole being is based on a lie, because then what happens? Now I can't blame stuff on him anymore, right? Now I got to look and say, wait a minute, out of the heart of man comes deceitfulness and lust and all that. Now, wait a minute, I had somebody to blame it on before, but now I don't. Now, uh-oh. Maybe he dwells in man. This is some of the things we'll have to get to later. And I know when I say these things, it's almost like, oh, well, I thought we're not possessed by demons and devils. I'm not talking about that. These are things that we're going to have to go into. But the devil, he dwells in man's heart. The lie dwells in man's heart, but he's restricted to the dust realm. Remember in Genesis, right after the lie, and he's restricted to the dust realm. He's going to eat dust the rest of the days of his life. But then what does God say to the man that is of the earth, earthy? The things that we say at funerals, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. Paul says in Corinthians, the first man is of the earth, of the dust, dusty, or of the earth, earthy. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. So here he is, what's he been doing? Deceiving the nations. And I swan you, you can ask people who that are, and everybody's going to tell you it's them. It's never me. I see the truth. I know the truth. The truth has made me free. I'm not deceived. The Pharisees said the same thing. Right when they said that, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. If you were Abraham's seed, you would go back to do the will of Abraham. Or I forget exactly how he said, the deeds of Abraham. But you seek to kill me. In verse 9 of the same chapter, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are the four corners of the earth. Gog, Magog, gather them together. So see, I just wanted to say, he deceives the nations. And one of them verses says he deceived the whole world. So we have to come to this conclusion that all the evils in the world arise from within, out of the heart. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Again, these are things that we have to talk way more about later. But, man, are we going to go into these things? Goodness. You remember when Jesus is in the wilderness? As soon as he's baptized, the Spirit drives him to the wilderness. Remember, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. The Scripture says he's tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And here's this temptation after 40 days of no food. And here comes Satan to tempt him. And Satan says, if you're the Son of God, go ahead and do it. Turn these stones into bread. Now, what happened? Was the devil up there in a mountain somewhere? Or was this out of his own human heart? His own human heart that says, if you are the Son of God, go ahead, do it. You know, use your sonship to fill your belly. Use your sonship to fulfill your own needs. And what did he do? He nipped it in the bud. He didn't come to do his own will. He come to do thy will, O Father. What did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus recognized the source. He recognized the origin of the voice. And that discernment ended the temptation. There's a verse here in the book of James. See if I can find it. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted. Now here we go. I want you to just look at this verse and just study on this verse and look. I mean, these things hit me in the face like a wad. I mean, it's come up in the face of every religion that we've ever been taught. It should say, but every man is tempted when the devil comes to him and tries to draw him away and get him to go to a bar or something. That's not what the Scripture says. Every man is tempted when the man here, is drawn away of what? His own lust. And enticed. Now what is this lust? His own desires. When every man goes about seeking his own desires. Verse 15. Man, when I seen these things, oh my goodness. Then when this lust, when this desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. Now, I'm going to throw something. We're going to talk more about this on Sunday, a whole lot. But I want to substitute a word in there for sin. Because sin, I want to get us out of this religious mindset. Because I know what we do with sin. I know how we think about sin. But I'm going to put another word in there. And maybe Sunday I can prove to you that I'm right in doing this and it's okay. When lust has conceived, it brings forth violence. You remember what he told Peter? Put that sword away. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. When lust is conceived. Now, where does this go? And I'm just going to throw this out there a little bit. I'm sprinkling a little bit out here. This goes right back to the 10th commandment, doesn't it? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife and that neighbor's donkey and all of these other things. Don't even, and that word covet means to desire. So what happens when I start to desire something? As soon as we start to desire those things, this verse here, verse 15, these two verses, 14 and 15, are short. But if you can get a hold of this, my goodness, when this desire comes forth, the next thing in line here, when it says lust has conceived, you know what that conceiving is? We could say every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, what this means here is competition has brewed. Competition. Because I want something that you have. And you want to hold on to what you have. Or maybe we're in competition over the same thing. And now this competition is going to be, and the end result of the competition is going to be what? Somebody's got to die. So we're talking about this violence right here. When lust has conceived, it brings forth, we could say, competition. And when competition is finished, it brings forth violence. And when it's finished, somebody has to die. Now, I know I didn't do a whole lot there to justify any of that, but this is the very lie that we got to get to the bottom of, the lie that the cross of Jesus Christ has exposed, that this star, it is given the key of this bottomless pit that's going to be exposed here. And you know, when God speaks to us and shows us it's out of our pure, undefiled spirit, Satan speaks up out of the depth of our deceitful and wicked heart of this earthly man, this man that's been duped and kept in the bondage of this lie since they got kicked out of the garden. And there's really only three things involved. 1 John 2:16 says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can say it this way: appetite, greed, and ambition. Oh man, I thought we were supposed to be ambitious. Man, we got to go back and look at the cross. Maybe everything we've taught has been under the control of the lie. Now, what happens when that lie is exposed? Wow, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Why, heck, we don't need that. We're already free, are we? Appetite, greed, ambition. And it was these three things that Eve was tempted. She saw the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, a tree to be desired, lust of the flesh, a tree to make one wise, the pride of life. It was a temptation from within to fulfill her own desires. And each of these three temptations are both deception and wickedness. And what they promise is what? A lie. And to heed them leads to ruin, leads to death. Scripture says the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, we get so used to things sometimes that it's hard for us to see anything else that we think death is normal. Death is not normal. How did death come into the world? You remember what he said: in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You ever wonder why God put that tree there? I mean, that tree's a representation of something. What's it a representative of? God had to give man a desire. God has a desire. We call it will, right? What is God's will? It's the same word. It's that desire. Well, what is God's will? Is God's will for himself? Or is God humble? So he puts man in the garden and he gives man the same desire. And what choice did man make? Man made the choice to fulfill his own desire. And you know what he said? If you start fulfilling your own desire, and then the next person starts filling their own desire, then what's going to happen? You guys are eventually going to meet up, and y'all are going to fight, and somebody's going to die. And we see, I want to bring it out of the mystic and bring it right down. And what happened? Cain slew Abel right out of the gate. I mean, boom, this is it. They're in competition, trying to get God's attention here, and boom, we got a murder. But we think, well, that's just the way it is. God set this up. See, this is how death came right in. And this force of death, when I say this force of violence, and you know what it did to us? It put us right under its force. And we've been locked up in prison to it ever since. And the only way out was for the lie to be exposed. Now, who exposed the lie? Jesus exposed the lie. That's why he says, I am the truth. I've heard people quote those verses all the time. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What do you mean? Well, does that mean he tells the truth? No, he is the truth. You know, the scripture says here in Timothy, let me go over here to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, I know going through a lot of types and shadows here and pictures. You remember the woman? She's kind of a picture of the soul here. And in this deception, in this lie, the man, remember, they're joined together. They're one. So Eve's deception, the man, they're joined together in the lie. Now Adam's consciousness of himself is now birthed in a lie and joined both in mind and body to the creation, to the dust, to this earth realm, dust thou art. He's bound to the earth instead of being bound and joined to the Creator. He's bound to the creation. He became separated from God. We're at in his thinking. Now he's under the control of the lie. And now everything around him is violence. And I can tell you this, the way that Satan hides in this darkness is religion. He's religious. And that's why it just perpetuates more and more and more until you see it in the light of the cross. And because of the lie, Adam now saw himself as a natural being. He saw himself of the earth, sin cursed, sick, weak, confused, full of troubles, full of sorrows. He's a murderer. He's proud. He's arrogant. He's mean. He's vindictive. He's full of death, full of vengeance, full of violence. Now, religion would step up and say what? We got to kill this guy. He's got to be punished. So we'll step up and we'll get a God now who's into punishing. And we'll say, well, God had to punish this man. God was punishing Adam because he rebelled and he sinned. I'm going to tell you, not so. God warned Adam not to eat. Because in that knowledge of trying to fulfill your own desire, you're going to set loose a force of violence in this earth, and it will kill you and all your children, and this whole world will be a world of death. What punishment could he do? The only thing that you can do now is expose the lie with the truth. Here comes the star from heaven that has the key to bring this revelation. But this wasn't God punishing Adam. It's just the fruit of the tree that he ate of. Right? He ate of the tree of violence. And in this knowledge, he released this force, and what's going to happen? The result is going to be you're going to die. I mean, what is the tree of knowledge? A belief system, an ideal, a persuasion, a viewpoint. But even Paul said, man ought not to cover his head, for man is made in the image of God. So what changed is our perception of ourselves, our knowledge of God, ourselves, divine purpose. Now it's all distorted. It's all twisted. Let me go back over here to Job. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I love that verse right there. This reveals man's capacity for God. to experientially know the presence of God and to be energized by Him and filled with His glory. Now, when did this happen? On the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came into our hearts, bears witness with our spirit, you know, that we're God's sons crying, Abba, Father. I understand, man, I tell you what, John 3:6, what does he say? That which is born of the flesh is what? It's flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Born again from what? Why would he say this? Because we got to be born again from something and have our foundation rooted in something that's not the lie, because everything we've saw and learned has been based on the lie. Everything, our whole view of God. Because the only true way to view God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, Scripture says God is a spirit. He's the Father of spirits. I mean, this is what happened. Let me just share a few verses here. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I mean, what does that mean? When we read these verses, we think, thank God that ain't me. But yet here we come and we want to set out and worship a God who we call as a God of violence. Because you just wait till He gets here and He's going to bust everybody up. The Scripture says He's love. In Him is neither shadow of turning. There's no darkness in Him at all. He's love. So how does love and violence go together? I can't reconcile the two. And we can't. Well, something must be a lie over here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now what was the vanity talking about? We just read over here, they become vain in their imaginations. When did they do that? This happened right in the garden. This was our view of God. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Oh my goodness. Boy, there's so much right there. Through the ignorance that is where? In them. Because why? The blindness is in their heart. Now you think, oh, well now, wait a minute. God makes some to see. Scripture and blindness we can attribute right to darkness. Remember what Scripture says? Men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil, or we could say their deeds were violent. Don't tell me, don't try to take my violence away from me. It's how we live and survive. We live in a violent society. Anybody who says anything other than that, what are they? They're crazy. We got to have a God that's as violent as we are. That's why we have wars. What does James talk about with the wars? These lusts that are in your heart, whereby comes wars and all this, because you want something and they want something. And this violence just perpetuates on and on and on. And only till it's seen in light of the cross does it ever stop. Hebrews 3:10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Now let me go back to Revelation. Maybe I'll get the right verse this time. Chapter 20, verse 10. Now, who is the devil? The devil is the accuser of the brethren and the deceiver. Now, what happens to him? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Talk about a priesthood. I can tell you, Adam is the high priest of the lie. And it originates out of his own heart. You know, there's a verse that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? All wars, greed, abuse, all of this horrible stuff are the results of man's deception and blindness. And no one has the spirit energy to prevent himself from lusting after the things of this world. We don't have it in us. I'll show you how this whole mechanism operates Sunday and the Sundays proceed. But that's why he told Peter. This very night, I mean, you think you're big, bad, and tough, but it's going to get you too. You can't do it. It's not in any of you. It's only in Jesus. Nothing can stop us from lusting after things of this world. But now when it comes to this freedom from natural desires, and I would say this, it's not possible. That's why we've been slaves to sin, but it can be attained, but only in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about knowing the truth. All the suffering that has taken place in the human body today is due to our separation from God through ignorance and blindness of our heart. It's not him holding back. I mean, we try to pray and beg and get God to do something. I'm telling you, God is never, ever, never withholding. But what happens? Through the lie, we think somehow I've got to get to him. I was listening to him singing a song coming up here this evening. Oh, Jesus is still passing by. Jesus is still passing by. You know, I hope he'll reach out and touch some of us. This is all from a religious mindset, man. You know, I hope he passes my way. What if he's closer over there to you than he is to me? And I might get more blessings. You, I mean, all this is nonsense. Amen. But I will say this. Things are improving as we grow up spiritually into Christ. As we are putting off the old man and putting on the new man, which after God... It is created in righteousness and true holiness. That transition from death to life is taking place in us. There is a resurrection, a new creation arising within us. I'm going to just read you some verses and I'll be done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A pure heart. Remember the pure heart. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Flee youthful lust. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I could say it this way, from a violent conscience. Because, man, violence is going to be a big key. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Golly, boy. I mean, these verses just, once you see it, it is everywhere. Chapter 3, 1 Peter, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. My goodness. Baby fell. Well, anyway, guys, we will quit with that. We will catch back up with this next week. So the great star that fell, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll quit with that.